Good morning, good morning. Buenos dias. God is good, amen.
I'm waiting for the sound.
Thank you, Danielle. Good morning, happy Sunday. I know you guys want to talk, but you know, time to get back into service. Amen. God is good. You know, yesterday we went, the men had a men on target shootout yesterday out in Dozura. I'll tell you what, I had a blessed time shooting. Well, I didn't do a lot of shooting. I was doing a lot of assisting. But I had a blessed time watching the guys shoot. I'll tell you what, a little story before we went out there. There's two guys that I invited, and they don't come to this church. One of them goes to Sweetwater Community, and one doesn't attend church at all. I invited him to come shooting, and you know that we arrive at the site, and I was a little skeptical about the site. And thank goodness I have friends that automatically check the site, to check to make sure that the place we're shooting at is authorized. And another friend of mine, what he did was he reconnaissance the entire area, and I'm glad he did, because what he did is he went to somebody and said, "Hey, is it okay if we shoot?" And he clarified that it was okay to shoot there. But what we did not know was on the other side of the hill there was a house with kids and family. And you know, I think his name is John. So you know, John, I'm thankful that you did that, because not that I'm the only one who likes to be aware of things. I had two other guys on my side that were also aware of other things. And you know, God gave us this land, this promised land for us to shoot, this promised land for us to go shooting where it's authorized and legal. And what I'm getting at is I want to segue into the book of Exodus. When God gave the Israelites the promised land, it took them 40 years to get to that promised land. They came close to it, walked close, looked at it, and did nothing. Did nothing because they did not believe in God. God gives us a lot of things, and because of unbelief, we never receive that promised land. Us as Christians, as believers, we have to have faith and trust and believe that God will take care of us in everything we do. He's willing to always give us anything he wants. But we as Christians, because of sin and because of our issues, we tend to say, "No, Lord, I don't want it. I don't trust you enough to take what you're giving me." Well, even though what you're giving me is 10 times more than what I have. Even though what I have currently, I should say, what he gives us is always more than what we can comprehend and not even understand what he gives us. So we tend to walk for 40 days like the Israelites. We act like we don't know what to do. We should. We have the Word, and we have each other, and we have the Holy Spirit that lives in us. When God gives us something, we need to take it. We need to take it and act like it's not there. We need to walk through what he's given to us and take a hold of it. A little side story. I took a test this past Thursday. I need to get promoted. I refused to study in the past and refused to take the test because I was afraid of what God was going to give me. I was afraid of the responsibility that he was going to give me. Because when you get promoted, there's a lot of responsibility. And as a man, I need to grab a hold of that responsibility and walk through it. Because God is giving me that opportunity to take that opportunity. He gives each and every one of you an opportunity to take what is his. And he's giving it gladly, whether it be a job, whether it be a new home, whether it be a fix in your relationship with your marriage or whatnot. He's giving it to you. You got to be the one seeking it. Seek it and take hold of it. Take hold of it. Don't let it go. Because when you let go, it might take you 40 years when it's right there sitting in front of you. Don't let it take 40 years. Don't let it take 2 years, 1 year, whatever it be. Take hold of it because he's right there willing to give it to you. Amen. So I'm going to have the ushers come up. Find out in 3 weeks when I come back from vacation. I'll tell you what, since Pastor Bob brought up the test, I was never confident in myself. I never had clarity to even think I was going to pass the test. But I'll tell you what, when you have brothers and sisters pray for you, when you have your wife pray for you, and you read your word, God gives you that clarity. He gives you that confidence. The confidence not in ourselves, but like the confidence in him. And I tell you, when I took that test, I had so much time. I went back and made all the corrections that I needed, and I felt confident enough to think I passed it, and I pray that I have, because I tell you what, when I pass, I'm going to have to give him the glory, not me. Amen. So with that, Heavenly Father, we come before you today, Lord. We thank you for who you are. Lord, let us take a hold and walk through the promises that you've given us in our life, Lord, never fearing, never regretting, but to trust in you wholeheartedly. So, Lord, for whatever you've given us, Lord, it was already yours. But, Lord, you love us so much. You give us so many opportunities, Lord, to find blessings through you, not in through ourselves or not through what this world thinks, but through the only one true God, Lord. And we thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that you sent your son to die on the cross for us so that I can continue to receive those blessings. And, Lord, that as we are blessed, Lord, that in return that we will bless you, Lord, with that we will please you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, Roke, when you pass that test, that means it's a hard stuff, something you can do. And so they start putting it on you. Hey, let me tell you what we got going on. We had men on target yesterday, and as Roke said, Roke was on target. And we had a great old time. We don't have another one of those scheduled yet, but I'm sure we'll do it again, and it'll be good. We do have some good stuff coming up. Number one, Future Quest this week, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Reuben, you could go if your mom will cut loose with you for three nights this week. You have to beg on her. We'll drop you off at your aunt's house, by the way. 5 o'clock to 11:30 p.m. They get done about 10:30. There's 2,000 youth. It is a youth extravaganza. Cost is $10. If you go there now, it costs $40 to get in. Church is paying part of it. We got a deal on part of it. Get here at 5. We will feed you and send you out. And Joe will be running the show out there with him. So he's big enough to keep everybody in line and keep everybody safe. Amen? All righty. So that is this week. If you want to go, I need to hear from you. If Rocky wants to go, I need to hear from you. All righty. 4th of July celebration. Coming up, there's a plethora of stuff going on. Number one is the mushball game, which is a baseball. It's a big old ball. You don't need a mitt. George, I'm thinking you probably got some skill, hoping you're going to be around. It is historically, it has been the youth against the adults. But then Joe and Josh got big enough that the youth started beating the adults. So we've changed that up, man. We just do combo team now. But it is a great time of fun. And then a couple years back, we started doing 100-foot slip and slide out there on the park. That is great fun. We'll have barbecue going. Flora is going to run a international potluck. And so it's just going to be a great, great, great time. If you go to the beach, you're crazy. But you go. There's a million people out there that will be fighting you for parking spots and stuff. But you can go. And so anyway, that is just going to be great, great fun. It's on a Monday this year. And we'll get you out of here by 1 or 2, and you can go watch fireworks where you want. Celebrate recovery. Hurts, habits, and hang-ups. Nothing on Monday. This week or next week? Next week, 4th of July. Oh, yeah, 4th of July. No celebrate recovery. But come and you get some help on how to shine in your home. And Wednesday's in the Word. Paul and Ann are up in Seattle. And so that's why they're not here today. Catching some rain, I'm sure, up there. It'll be glorious. Let's see. The God A's are up in San Jose. And we got some folks around. Pastor Carlos's back is messed up. And so Miss Natty is back there translating. A little round of applause for Miss Natty. If think about it, you float a little prayer that way during the service. I'm sure she can help. We'll use the assistance. And so Pastor Carlos is back is messed up. And Mary Jo said she's been coughing all night. She can't make a church. So I'll tell you what. We're going to have church today because the devil is trying to get everybody out of here. But you are here, and it is going to be good. All righty. With that, I'm going to let the children go. Youth are staying up. And so preschool and grammar school can go to their classes. A little round of applause for our teachers today. And uh, Danny. There we go. Drawing a blank on your name. Hope I can preach better than I remember your name, Danny. Give me light number four, if you would. Danny, did you tell me your name? Oh, okay. All right. I like that. Sound girl that can read my mind. Yes. All righty. Praise the Lord. All right. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Because Pastor Carlos is not here, we don't have any notes in Spanish. I'm sorry about that. Ephesians chapter 5. We're going to read 10 verses, 21 to 30. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
All right, very good. All righty, kids are gone, place is quiet, God is good. Check my time. All right, here we go. Ephesians chapter 5, 21 to 30. Bible says, submit. Everybody say submit with me. We're talking about submission today. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Wives, submit to your husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church, gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but he feeds and cares for it just as Christ does the church, for we are members of his body. And for this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. And this is a mystery. Lord, I thank you that you are good, mighty, and awesome, and that you are in this place this morning is that the enemy comes to scatter us, Lord, that you gather us, that we can indeed hear your word. I thank you for your healing touch on Sandra Hurd this week, your touch on so many of us. Pray your continued healing and strength on Jean Bell. Lord, I thank you that you are with us here this morning, that you have a plan for us. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
This text has a special place in my life, in Lisa and my lives. It is the text by which I proposed to her. And it was a Thanksgiving. I was trying to do the math. Leanne, how old are you? 20, right? 21, so probably 22, 23 years ago. I can't remember Danny's name. I can't do math anymore either. But it was a while back. It was less than 25. I know that. And, today, Lisa and I's 18th anniversary here at the church.
Right.
Remember that? Hallelujah. So anyway, I am totally enamored with this young woman who has come into my life, and I want to ask her to be my wife. I am in my second year of Bible college, ready to leave and conquer the world for the Lord, and I am going to ask this woman to be my wife. I'm going to use this text, and we are going to have communion together, and there is kind of the woman's path. And there is the man's half, and so I divided it up, you know, being a Bible scholar now that I'm in Bible college, divided it up, and I have the woman's half kind of going with the bread, and the man's half kind of going with the cup, and I've got it dialed out, and I'm ready to go, bend a knee, and just propose to my wonderful wife to be. And Lisa says, oh, my mom is going to join us for communion. And I'm like, whatever, man. I mean, we're rolling, and her mom can be there. I don't care, because I'm going to marry this woman and spend my life with her, and her mom brings her friend, Lois. Whatever. I mean, I got the plan. I'm rolling on. We are good. And so I start off, you know, and being my scholarly self, read the text, and I got the communion stuff there, and said a wife should submit herself to her husband. And I'm ready to just go, you know, and set the foundation for our life together. And Lois begins to have this theological treatise on what this means. And I'm like, who are you, lady? I mean, I didn't say that, but I was thinking that. And, you know, sometimes Steve will talk up in church, you know, and I just got to go get back on the plan. And so Lois was getting me ready for the times with Steve. And so back on the plan, just kind of rinsed the whole time back from Lois, and we're rolling, and that the husband is the head of the wife. Oh, but this is really what God means. Who are you, lady? You know. And again, wrench it back and back on the plan and back on track. I'm going to spend my life with it. And I'm thinking this because I'm not letting it out yet, because I got to, you know, bend the knee and boom. And I am going through this thing, and all the time, man, Lois is like, I'm just like, I start giving her the eye. Like, I think her mom, because I had asked her dad that I could marry her, and she finally kicks her, you know, in the elbow, in the side, and so she's quiet, and I am able to finally bend a knee, and they go, oh, okay, and so I propose my wonderful wife, and she said yes, and we have indeed become one flesh. God's plan. God has a plan for you. We're in a series called Shining in the Sun. And as part of God's plan for you and me and for us, He wants us to shine in our homes. Can I get a witness on that? And in this text that I read, Paul gives us some rather challenging kingdom dynamics. Lots of people, especially women like Lois, read this and think, no way. And we can come to this stuff. We can come to the precepts of God. We can think that this is just a bunch of old-fashioned garbage, and we have indeed moved beyond all this stuff, and that we're modern, and that how quaint are the precepts of the Lord, but they don't really apply. But all of this, Christ on the cross, spiritual gifts, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, are all part of the plan. God calls you out of darkness into light so that you can indeed shine. Comes to this text so we can shine in our homes, part of the plan. And when you fight God's plan for your home, for your life, His intent is to take you out of the darkness and deliver you into the light. But as you fight His plan, really you're just grabbing onto that darkness. And as you're grabbing onto the darkness, you're not really going to shine. God gives us these spiritual directives so that we can be ready for spiritual battle, and we can move into spiritual victory. He says you'll not win if you're not ready to shine. Title of today's message is Shine in the Home. And realistically, some things probably have to change if we're going to shine in our homes. Amen? All right. Let's take a look at this. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Kingdom is different. You don't have a lot of people pumping this up on the airwaves today. Nobody really, you know, they'll look at the news and talk about how great it is to submit to one another. But Christ changes everything. Christ comes into your life and he wants to change everything because realistically, when we come to Christ, we're not shining. And he says, I'm going to set an order for the kingdom of God. I'm going to set a structure by which you might shine. We are called to reverence that change. We are called to embrace that change. Say, God, whatever you want, I'm good with that. Are you okay with that statement? God wants you to change. Are you good? You know, like, you want me to jump? How high, Lord? But there's a lot of people out there really jump. I'm a little tired. I might skip. But I don't know if I'm going to jump. We voluntarily place ourselves under the influence of God. And he says, you're going to do that. You're going to put yourself under the influence of one another. Submit yourselves one to another. Paul tells us how we can line ourselves up on the kingdom of God. And he's not playing around. We line up on the Lord by living lives of submission. Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. Do nothing out of selfish ambition. Well, I'll tell you what. You look at our culture and everything is selfish ambition. Amen? Everything is vain conceit. Paul tells the church in Philippi, do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Well, how am I going to get ahead if I do that, Pastor? You're going to say, Lord, how am I going to do that? How am I going to get ahead? Well, he's the creator of the universe. I'll tell you what, you can fight your own fight. You can fight a good fight. But it's a losing fight. Can I get a witness on that, Aaron? I mean, most of us are here. I mean, some of you guys, I mean, most of us are from the hood. And we come to the Lord because we were losing the fight. Amen? Yes. And I mean, like, I look and see Andon over there. And Andon's going, well, I grew up in the church. Okay. I didn't. Amen? Yes. And so I learned through futility that I needed a change. And so Lord said, okay, you're losing on your own. You line up on me and I will turn you into a winner. Paul says, this is how you line up on the Lord. You value others higher than yourselves. When you do that, it's easy to live in mutual submission. Can I get a witness on that? Today we're going to look at a few areas of submission. We're going to talk about how the church submits to Christ. We're going to talk about the submission that happens in a marriage. Now, if that lights you up today, you can continue reading in chapter 5, and Paul will teach about how slaves and masters interface, talks about parents and children. And that could be for you, buddy. There you go. All righty? So we're going to continue on, and Paul starts off with the women. Paul starts off with the ladies. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. As you do to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Now, as the church submits to Christ, so also wives should submit to their husbands in everything. Start with Jesus. Jesus is the head of the church. And realistically, we have no problem with this. Amen? I have no problem with this because Jesus hung on a cross that I might be transformed, that I might come from darkness to light. Roki's standing up here about his test and says, hey, I'm going to pass this test. I'm going to give all glory to God because he gets the glory. Roki has no problem submitting to Jesus. Are you tracking with what I'm talking about? See, Jesus is the head of the body, and he directs and we follow. Now, we come to an uphill statement. Husbands are the head of the wife. Hold on now, some of the ladies are thinking, I didn't sign up for that. Well, realistically, you did. It's right here, black and white. So here's a pointer, ladies. Young ladies, Danny, Kyra. I'm looking for younger ladies out here. Sandra. No. Oh, there's Emily. Is Emily back there? Angela's back there? Okay. Pick somebody you can follow. Let me say that again for you. Young ladies, single ladies, if you are going to pick a man, pick someone that you can follow. Pick a good one. Because you're going to be submitting to this man, and he might not be worth it. It's a pointer. It'll be much easier to shine. Now, everybody take a breath. It is not as if men are superior to women. Can I get a witness on that? Let me give you a text. Galatians chapter 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ. It is not as if a man has more value. And ladies, I want to let you know, as you take a look at this, that your primary alliance is to God. And that the husband, the man in your life, you do not have to submit to requests that will take you away from the Lord or contradict the Lord's will for your life. You do not have to sin to be obedient to your husband. Okay? All right. So now, if you choose poorly, it will be a greater challenge to do this, ladies. Perhaps you have already chosen poorly. Sorry. 1 Peter 3:1-2. Wives. This is Peter talking. It's like it's not just Paul. Wives, in the same way, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word. Now, Bible says, don't be unequally yoked. So, if you choose to marry a man who is not a Christian, you have just now gone against the will of God for your life. But maybe you're just in love. And the Lord will say, and you'll just figure, the Lord's just going to be nice to me. Sure. He loves you. Can I get a witness on that? So, when you pick a man who is not a Christian, you get to jump up and down, scream and yell, and force that man to become a Christian. Oh, no. He says, submit yourselves to your own husbands so that if any of them do not believe the word, they may be won over without words by the behavior of you. Because you choose to disobey God's directions to your life, not because he doesn't want you to be happy, but because he does want you to be happy. He says, I'm just going to marry this guy. He says, okay, I'm good with that. Now, what you're going to do is you're going to spend the rest of your life witnessing my love for him in your behavior and in your obedience and your submission. And he's not even a Christian. So he's going to be what? Selfish. He's going to be what? He's not going to do all this other stuff that I'm going to load the guys down with in a second. Why? He didn't surrender his life to Christ. You have chosen poorly. Here's the good news. Even if you have chosen poorly, or perhaps you haven't chosen poorly, but you just happen to get saved, and your husband is not saved. And guys, if you're with a woman who's not saved, you got to live the other side of this. But because you know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you can find fullness in your life with him. Amen? You got this anchor in your life, this guy who is not saved, and your ministry is now witnessing and ministering to him so that one day he might surrender his life to the Lord and begin to catch up with you on your pace with him. But as you are waiting for that, the fullness of your life can happen in your relationship with Christ. You can have that. Peter also tells us that the unbelieving home is sanctified by the believing spouse. So that you are the presence of God in that home, and the devil will attack you, but you can stand strong, and you can be God's woman in that home. Amen? So again, I say, ladies, choose wisely, because that's a tough road. Amen? Now, some of you ladies are thinking, man, I wish I was in Seattle today with Paul and Ann, or up in San Jose with the God A's. I didn't need really hear this. Well, ladies, it is twice as tough for the men. And here we go. God's message for husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. Description of submission for men. So we got the submission part for ladies. Now we're coming to the submission part for men. And this was radical new news for men. Okay, yeah, I got it right here. I'm my bad. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her to make her holy, cleansing her by washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Submission for men. Jesus sets the standard. Jesus sacrificed himself to save the church and to purify the church. And because of that, we don't really struggle with submitting to Christ as the head of the church. Like, man, he paid the price. It is the love of Christ that compels us to submit to him. And men, what I would let you know this morning is that the love of the man in the home should be as compelling to your wife as the love of Christ is to the church. That's a steep load to carry. Jesus laid his life down. The man should lay his life down. This is more than a requirement for a happy marriage. This is a requirement for spirit-filled living. And that if you're going to line up on the kingdom, if you're going to line up on God, this is the role that God has for men in the home. If you're going to shine in the home, realistically, some things got to change. Paul describes the act of cleansing that Christ does to the church and this holiness aspect. And the man in the home is to provide that holiness component and that cleansing component, and that is the role of a priest. The priest comes into the church and cleans it. And a priest comes in and manifests holiness. And that is the role of the man in the home. So the man is to be a priest, and as the man is to bring sacrifice. And the man is to be Christ in the home. It's uphill, gentlemen. Amen? Well, that was weak. Amen. Thank you for that, Roke. All right. In addition, men are called to care. Are we okay, by the way? Is anybody going to sleep here? All right. I don't know how anybody can sleep today. Want to check. In this same way, husbands ought to love their wives. You see, men can be a little dense. See, you know, it's kind of like like a Hot Wheel when you go vroom. Well, that's not enough for boys, right? You got to go vroom, 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 and then you let it go, and it goes, right? This is Paul taking another run at this, right? He goes, okay, okay, guys, I know you might not have just caught all that. So, men are to care for their wives as they care for their own bodies. Let me get this through, guys. I'm trying to pierce your thick skulls. He who loves his wife loves himself. And the guys are thinking, well, I kind of like it when my wife just kind of brings me a carton of soda burrito. That's the way I care for myself, having her help me. And Paul says, no. He says, after all, no one ever hated their own body, but they feed and care for their own body. God elevates the level of your care for your wife in the home. To the care of your own body. Now, when your body hurts, man, I slammed my finger on a jack the other day. And hurt like, you know, actually it didn't look like much. It's just like, ah, ooh, that hurt. Could be bad. And man, it's messed with me for 10 days. Pain gets attention. My wife's going, you should put some Neosporin. I don't need no Neosporin. I got all that grease in there. It'll be fine. After a while, I'm going, Neosporin, better put some Neosporin in there. It's not getting better. Pain, right? Gets attention. And so your body cries out. Your wife cries out. Bring some attention. Happy wife, happy life. Yes, gentlemen. You can write that down. Put that in that text right there, Ephesians 28:29. Problem with us guys, we can get all out of whack. Am I the only one? I get out of whack. See, we can grab onto the wrong end of the plan of God. Here's one. Therefore, I do not run like somebody running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body. God, supposed to care for our wives as our own bodies. I'm not saying you strike a blow to your wife. But I make my body my slave so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. And this text speaks of sacrifice, self-sacrifice. And I grab onto that. I'm big on self-sacrifice. And my wife's message in the midst of my self-sacrifice is I could use a little care here. Husbands need to care for their wives. Not how you care for your body, but on what they need. Husbands need to care for their wives, not how they care for their own bodies, but what their wives need. Husbands need to care for their wives, not the way they care for their own bodies, but on what their wives need. Preach to you guys? Husbands need to care for their wives not based on how they care for their own bodies, but on what their wives need. Amen. Well, thank you, Adriana. We can get a little out of whack. I have to study my wife so I can feed and care for her. God calls us to become one flesh. So I care for her, I care for me. Happens in the church. Wednesday night. Where is Zeke? With who? Oh, with Leanne. There's nursery ladies. My daughter's down there. My daughter was not down there. Ooh. Was not there on Wednesday. Adriana was in there with Ezekiel and another mom. And after the class, I was with the youth on Wednesday. I ran over to find Adriana. And I said, how'd it go? And here's Ezekiel in her arms, all sweaty, no shirt on. Says, it is too hot in there. We need an air conditioner in there. And I'm looking at her, I'm looking at Ezekiel, looking at three other little screaming kids. And guess what? Thursday morning, I am looking for an air conditioner. I found one in North Park. I said, Mike, we need to get this air conditioner in there. And Thursday, by noon, there was an air conditioner. Is that air conditioner running down there, by the way, right now?
Yes, it is.
There you go. See, that is how you care for the church, and that is, men, how we should be caring for our wives. All right, thank you for that, Mr. Bugs. All right, here we go. Are we okay? Here we go. All right. Kingdom changes everything. Kingdom changes everything. And realistically, if you want to get into the kingdom, you line up the kingdom, everything needs a change in you. After all, no one ever hated his own body, but they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. For we are members of his body. Amen?
Amen.
We are members of his body. Amen?
Amen.
There we go. That's a little action there. But they feed and care for their body just as Christ does the church. We're members of his body. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother, be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. This is a profound mystery, but I am talking about Christ and the church. I want to let you know this morning that God's plan is one way. Progress, not halfway in, halfway out, not trying to... Amen? One flesh, man. You don't come out of one flesh. And perhaps you have a divorce. I'm not slamming you today, but I'll tell you what, you're in a relationship right now, one way. You're not married, choose a winner. Amen? Choose somebody that you can submit to, mutually submit to. Ladies, choose a man that is going to die to himself for you, not some guy who wants you to die for him. And if you don't got that guy, don't get one. And if you got one, you might want to start shopping for a new one. Unless you're married. It's one way. God does a unique thing. He brings a man and woman together, starting in the Garden of Eden, that the Lord made a helper suitable for Adam, called Eve. And you can get a feeling that Eve is kind of an assistant to Adam, an afterthought. But the word there, the Hebrew word there for helper, is only used to describe, that word is only used to describe how God helps the church in the whole Testament. And I'm not looking at God as an assistant. Can I get a witness on that part? I need you to realize this morning that this is an incredible escalation in women's rights. That realistically, the request or the demand that Paul makes upon women to submit to their husbands, well, that was no big demand at that point anyway, because they had to do it. They were considered the property of their husbands. Everybody who read that would go, wives, submit to your husbands. Said, of course. Wives or women's rights in this culture, not in the church because the Lord changed everything, but in this culture, in the Jewish culture, in the Arabic culture, are very similar to the way women are treated today in Muslim countries. Can't go to school, can't drive, can't read, got to wear something over your face. Property. Does that help you get a feel for the way women were treated back in the day? So the Holy Spirit, so God says, men, I want you to treat your wives as your own body. And the men were going, are you kidding me? He said, no, this is kingdom order. This is so you can have spiritual lives and spiritual victory. And Paul even makes, and the Holy Spirit even makes a comparison to Christ caring for the church. And as you come to the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, There is a dynamic interface that happens between you and him. Amen? There's provision, there's healing, there's all this stuff. But there is also a dynamic provision as the church comes together. And Christ cares for all of us as a unit. Kingdom order. Kingdom dynamics. It's a good thing. Amen? We fulfill our roles in the church. Jesus does something among us all. Last thing, Paul's directions to shine. Each one of you must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. Husbands must love their wives. This is a restatement of what Paul has already said previously. And it's important to keep this in mind because it is easy to move into protection and provision. That self, I get in this self-sacrificial kind of thing, and I'm sold out for the Lord, and I'm just rolling, and we're going to find that spiritual victory. We're going to find that spiritual life. And Lisa is kind of going, hey, I'm way back here. And sometimes my response will catch up. And that's not the right response. We lose sight of nurture and care. Wives must respect their husbands. And this often gets lost in the mix as well. We can thank the Beatles for that, because they said all you need is love, but that's not true. More than love, men need respect. Yeah, I don't want to be misunderstood, but realistically, every man wants a cheerleader. And I'm not talking about a high schooler, college girl, or NFL cheerleader. I'm talking about somebody in his home that says, yeah, right on. Every man wants his wife to be on his team, believing in him and cheering him on. So ladies, number one, pick a guy you can cheer for. And ladies, if you already have your man, pick something and cheer. Life will get better. You're going to shine in your home, men and women. Things really going to have to change. Some things are going to have to change. Lisa, you can come on up here. Every home needs a priest. Priest is to guard the home. Priest keeps the home clean. This is important because we are surrounded by a cesspool of sin. Amen. Other three things every home needs: love, respect, and submission. This is how you line up on God. This orders your life for spiritual life, spiritual battle, spiritual victory, and realistically, things need to change to shine in your home. Mike Henson down there cooking, or Steve. I got no lady in my home. Dana and Teddy here. We've got no man in our home. Well, that mix of love, respect, and submission might be different. If you're living alone, you're not married, but you still need that mix. Why? Because it's a kingdom mix. And it's a kingdom order for your life so that you can have spiritual life, spiritual victory in your spiritual battles. Danny, you still need a priest in your home. Mike needs to be a priest in his home and manage his mind and what comes into his home. Same thing with Steve. Sandra, in your home, a kingdom mix. And realistically, to shine in your home, you might need some change. Lord, we thank you this morning. Lord, I thank you for pulling me out of darkness into light. I thank you for Having us be here 18 years, I thank you for the woman that you put to walk beside me through it all. I thank you that you don't give up on me when I mess up, get out of whack. Thank you for your spirit that guides us into all truth. And Lord, I thank you that you are not done with us. Lord, that you have a desire for us to shine in our homes, and that you bring your word and guide us by your spirit, that we can indeed implement the changes that we need to shine. Maybe you're here this morning. Maybe you're here this morning, and I don't mean to be funny, but you have chosen poorly. There is a loser in your home. I am sorry for you. The life that lies before you of a silent witness for Christ is a challenging, challenging witness. And I pray right now, I pray for these that are here this morning and are unequally yoked, who have a partner that does not open their hearts and minds and souls to the other half of this message this morning. I pray, Holy Spirit, come to you and so equip and empower and enlighten you that you can find that fullness in your life and that you can live that life that shines in silence and challenge. I pray this morning that if your eyes and your heart is set upon someone that you can't cheer for, that you can't submit to, that you are not married to, I suggest that you heartily consider putting the skids on. You want to get into that silent witness mode. You don't have to. Maybe you sit here this morning and you're just thinking, I'm so out of whack. My life is so out of order. The stuff you're talking about, I don't even know how to start. Well, starting is the best thing that you can do. We can get you some help. We've got some classes. We've got ministries that are set up to help you. Lord, I thank you that you are here this morning and that you call us, Lord, to be transformed in our lives. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Lord, I want to be transformed. It's so dark. It's so gray. I don't want to be like this anymore. Nobody's looking around. Just raise your hand and say, oh, Lord, here I am. Find me back here. Find me, Lord. Find me, Lord. I want to be transformed back here and here. So that's me. That's me. I need to come out of darkness into light back here. Amen. Amen. I see your hands. See your hands. You can put them down. Anybody else? Say, that's me this morning. That's me. I want to be transformed. I want to be light. I want to shine in the dimness and the darkness. Here, yeah, I see that. Here, there, yeah. Worship team is coming. We're going to sing. As we sing, what's the song we're singing? More Love, More Power?
Yes.
We're singing this song, More Love and More Power. And you want that. We don't really have a song for more submission. More surrender. Maybe we have surrender. But we're going to sing this. And perhaps the Lord really, really, really speaking to your heart. Perhaps you are just thinking, man, I need this. Oh, I need this. As we're singing more love and more power, more of God in my life, I invite you to come and just kneel at these altars. I want to pray with you. And I want you not to leave the way you entered, I want you to just seal this word this morning. We'll get you the help, but the devil will steal it. Don't let him do it. So stand with me if you would. We're going to sing. You want the Lord to do a work in your life. I just, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. It's going to be way harder than walking out of your seat and kneeling up here. So don't let that be your first misstep. Hallelujah. Let's sing. Praise the Lord. Oh.
More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you with all of my mind. And I will worship you with all of my strength. You are my Lord. You are my Lord. More love, more power, more of you in my life. More love, more power, more of you in my life. And I will worship you with all of my heart. And I will worship you with all of my mind. And I will worship you with all of my strength. You are my Lord. You are my Lord.
More faith, Lord.
More faith and more passion. More of you in my life. More faith.
I need more, Lord.
And more passion for you. More of you in my life. And I will seek your face with all of